Support for this podcast and the following message come from Dignity Memorial. When your celebration of life is prepaid today, your family is protected tomorrow. Planning ahead is truly one of the best gifts you can give your family. For additional information, visit dignitymemorial.com.
Bullseye with Jesse Thorne is a production of MaximumFun.org and is distributed by NPR.
It's Bullseye. I'm Jesse Thorne. A heads up about this next segment, there is some talk about suicide. Nothing graphic, just an acknowledgement of it. Anyway, time now for the song that changed my life. A chance for some of our favorite artists to talk about the music that made them who they are. On deck, Amy Mann. Amy is a singer-songwriter whose career dates back to the 80s, when she sang in the new wave band Till Tuesday. But you probably know Amy for her solo career. She earned an Academy Award nomination for her work on Paul Thomas Anderson's Magnolia.
You look like a perfect fit for a girl in need of the
She's earned two Grammy Awards, including one for Best Folk Album, for her 2018 record, Mental Illness.
They served you champagne like a hero. When you landed, someone carried your bag. From here on out, your patient zero. Smelling ether as they hand you the rag.
In fact, NPR's Robin Hilton called her the eighth greatest living songwriter. Amy has recently followed up Mental Illness with a very different record, Queens of the Summer Hotel. The songs on the record started when Amy was working on a stage version of the book Girl Interrupted. The stage show hasn't happened, but the record is out. It's delicate and beautiful.
Hoping the pain covers the dread, keeps the secrets in.
When we asked Amy about the song that changed her life, she took us back to 1972, the first time she ever listened, really listened, to the lyrics in a pop song. I'll let Amy take it from here.
Hi, this is Amy Mann, and this is a song that changed my life.
I promise myself to treat myself and visit a nearby town. Climbing to
the first time I heard Alone Again Naturally by Gilbert O'Sullivan, I was probably 12 years old. I'm sure I heard it on the radio because, you know, I didn't really, every now and then, you know, maybe my brother would bring in a Beatles record or, you know, Sgt. Pepper, you know, that kind of stuff was super, super exciting. I loved that.
A crowd of people stood and stared. They'd seen his face before.
I remember going over to a friend's house and they had the soundtrack to Jesus Christ Superstar. That was super exciting. Really loved that. So, you know, it's just like these bits and pieces here and there that would come into my life. And, you know, on the radio, I remember Badfinger was a big favorite. Really loved that. But, you know, just in general, kind of listening to, there was like a, it's like a certain kind of 70s pop songwriting. And And I did like that, even though a lot of it was disposable.
What do we do? What do we do?
Gilbert O'Sullivan was a pop singer, songwriter, probably of the early 70s, maybe possibly late 60s. He had a couple of albums that did really, really well and a handful of hits. And I think he's still, you know, he's still writing songs. He's still out there doing it, you know. But this was the one that really propelled him into, you know, into the top 40. There was a couple of things that I really liked about this song. I thought, you know, his vocal was really sort of odd. It was a really, you know, ostensibly kind of bouncy, cheerful song. But then there would be moments where it got kind of melancholy. And the aspect that really kind of turned a certain kind of world on its axis for me, I was with a friend of mine and, you know, another 12-year-old or 11-year-old, however old we were. And we were listening to the song and I was saying how much I liked the song. And she said, "Well, you know what this song is about, don't you?" And I said, "No, not really. I mean, you know, sort of a general idea." This guy is... kept finding himself alone. And she said, "It's about suicide." Because in the first verse, he talks about going to a tower and wanting to throw himself off the tower.
"In a little while from now, if I'm not feeling any less sound, I promise myself to treat myself and visit a nearby tower. And climbing to the top, will throw myself off in an effort to
So I really started paying attention to the lyrics after that, and it kind of was the first time that I really listened closely to what lyrics were in a song. Before that, you know, lyrics would just kind of wash over me and maybe like a phrase or two would stand out. But once I had this pointed out to me, I started really listening to lyrics. And that really made a big difference because it felt like that you could have almost a secret message, but that was hiding in plain sight. You know, this idea, this like very sad story about a guy who was like jilted at the altar and then contemplating suicide. And then the subsequent verses, he talks about the death of his parents. You know, so it's like a lot of very heavy stuff, but musically, you know, it's the very bouncy kind of production, you know, like a really typical production of the era. It was very, you know, kind of mild pop music. But I thought it was like really fascinating that you could have this, you know, actual text in there that was so dark. And you know, if people weren't really paying attention, they wouldn't get it. But for people who were paying attention, it really, I don't know, it was like this special secret way that you could connect with an artist. How this song is in no hurry, you know, it just goes around the entire verse with this little nylon string guitar solo, plays the whole thing, and he's still got another verse.
"Alone again, naturally, looking back over the years, whatever else that appears, I remember I cried when my father died.
Now he talks about his father dying and his mother being heartbroken. Also, these beautiful woodwinds, this beautiful arrangement. Okay, now his mother dies. Like, it's kind of insane. There's like this barrage of terrible things happening to this guy.
"Alone again, naturally."
He's alone, naturally. one of the things I like about it, it's like this litany of terrible things, but he's saying it in this really detached kind of voice. And there's something that's very appealing to me. Like, to me, that is more heartbreaking than if somebody is really, you know, really selling it, having this very dramatic vocal, because then that's more like telling you how to feel, where he tells you the story and then the music sets up this mood and tone, and you know, you're sort of allowed to have your own feelings about it. And his vocal is very removed. You know, he's not like really selling the idea that he's heartbroken. He's telling the story. I mean, honestly, it's almost easy listening. And yet he's talking about like doubting the existence of God, talking about the death of his mother, like how brokenhearted she was when his father died, like, you know, and how he wants to kill himself because his girlfriend jilted him. Like, it's like a crazy amount of really angsty information. I think another thing that's interesting about this song is that it's kind of like a real barrage of words. Like, he, you know, they just keep coming at you, so you really do have to kind of slow down and pay attention to really hear what's going on. There's an aspect to the ostensibly jaunty or cheerful piece of music that then starts to subtly turn melancholy, but with a more like a much heavier lyric on top. That juxtaposition, I think that I, from that moment on, like, found really fascinating. And I like to do that. I like to have contrast between the music and the lyric. And sometimes, you know, sometimes the other way, like the music could be more melancholy and the lyric could be a little funnier, but, you know, it takes on kind of a gallows humor flavor because of the music that's under it. You know, those two things work together in a way that makes them both bigger, greater than the sum of their parts. There's a magic and an alchemy to that that is really interesting to me. I think most people in general still listen to music and just like let the lyrics wash over them. They don't really pay attention. So that really impressed itself on me later as a writer, the idea that you could have lyrics that were very meaningful and maybe very even specific, but because of the nature of how most people would listen, it would pass over most people, but the people who paid attention, they would get it. And those are the people that you want to get it, the ones that really, you know, that want to know what's going on.
Amy Mann on the song that changed her life, Alone Again Naturally by Gilbert O'Sullivan. Amy's newest album is called Queens of the Summer Hotel. You can stream it pretty much anywhere or buy it at your local record store. Thanks to Amy for recording herself and for sharing that story. Amy is a really special performer. We're always grateful to have her here. Her only fault as a human being is her opposition to the song Come On Eileen. She's very wrong about that. Anyway, let's go out on one more song from her new album. This one's called Burn It Out. Can you just burn? That's the end of another episode of Bullseye. Bullseye is created from the homes of me and the staff of Maximum Fun in and around Greater Los Angeles, California, where this week I took a walk over to the Lummis home. the home of Charles Lummis, one of the most important early Angelenos. He popularized Southwestern aesthetics, one of the first aesthetic movements truly native to the United States. Fascinating guy, Charles Lummis. You should go visit his house if you're in Northeast Los Angeles sometime. The show is produced by Speaking Into Microphones. Our senior producer is Kevin Ferguson. Our producer, Jesus Ambrosio. Production fellows at Maximum Fun are Richard Roby and Valerie Moffett. We also get some help from Casey O'Brien. Our interstitial music is by Dan Wally, also known as DJW. Thanks to him for loaning us his Serato controllers. We needed to borrow someone's Serato controllers. He was nice enough to lend us his. Our theme song is called Huddle Formation, recorded by the group The Go Team. Thanks to them and to their label Memphis Industries for sharing it. You can also keep up with the show on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube. We post all our interviews there. And I think that's about it. Just remember, all great radio hosts have a signature sign-off.
Bullseye with Jesse Thorne is a production of MaximumFun.org and is distributed by NPR.
You're in the theater. The lights go down. You're about to get swept up by the characters and all their little details and interpersonal dramas. You look at them and think, that person is so obviously in love with their best friend. Wait, am I in love with my best friend? That character's mom is so overbearing. Why doesn't she stand up to her? Oh, good God, do I need to stand up to my own mother? We never know when we'll see ourselves in a movie, but that search for recognition is exactly what we're going to talk about on the podcast Feeling Seen with me, Jordan Cruciola. Each episode, we'll bring in a guest to talk about the films that they see themselves in and also the ways that movies have fallen short. So join me every Thursday for the Feeling Seen podcast here on Maximum Fun or wherever you find your podcasts.
The Indicator from Planet Money is all in on video games. Not just because they're a fun hobby. Video games are one of the fastest growing businesses worldwide. Worth more than the film and music industries combined.
We're seeing some games that are really taking, $500 million to make.
We're taking a week-long look at the video game industry. Listen to the Indicator from Planet Money podcast on NPR.
There are a lot of issues on voters' minds right now. Six big ones could help decide the election. Guns, reproductive rights, immigration, the economy, healthcare, and the wars overseas. On the Consider This podcast from NPR, we will unpack the debates on these issues and what's at stake. You can listen to NPR's Consider This wherever you get your podcasts.
If you've never donated to the NPR network before, that's okay. Public radio is available to everyone for free. But we do rely on listener support from those who are able to give. So join the community of supporters for Public Media Giving Days, coming up on May 1st and 2nd. Please give at donate.npr.org, and thank you.